One word that, has been used repetitively when I've spoken to people in Arabic is izlal, which is degradation or humiliation.
Using the terms migration to refer as well to people who are actually in need of international protection is basically making invisible the protection needs.
Essentially, what you have in areas controlled by gangs is these are states within states and over which they hold total power.
Every single day for the last 3 years, there's one teenager missing. They just disappeared.
My name is Chris O'Connell, and I'm the chairperson of the Latin American Solidarity Center. These are big issues that are going on, and there are distinctions for sure. It's armed conflict taking place in Central America, but not on the scale that's taking place in Syria and other parts of the Middle East. But it certainly has similar roots, and it has extremely similar effects on the people that are affected. They are being locked out of countries with, shall we say, proper procedures, and being essentially confined to countries who have, which have probably less capacity to deal with them, and often less interest.
My name is Rebecca Zenal Morrejas. I'm a regional protection officer for UNHCR, Agency for Refugees. What we are seeing is a bit the same situation as you can see in Europe. Everything gets put under the lenses of migration. And obviously, migrants have rights and people have right to move and so on. Once the conflict of the 80s were over and people actually returned to the countries of origin after like a massive fleeing, what we have seen is mainly countries that they are prone to migration to improve the conditions of their living, of the population there. However, in the last year, we are seeing an increase in the number of people who are leaving those countries, who are fleeing those countries, actually, due to violence and the insecurity that is prevailing. So we're seeing confinement, we're seeing killings, extortion, we're seeing forced recruitment, sexual and gender-based violence. We are seeing people who are being killed, who are being kidnapped, and many other living in confinements, invisible borders, and so on and so forth. So they can enjoy the basic rights because they can not always move freely. They can access education or even health premises because they have to go to another area which is controlled by other gang, or because they might get recruited or assaulted on the way. So and the worst is that they have normalized this situation, and this is that daily lives, so they don't see it as anything particularly terrible.
Those tens of thousands of unaccompanied children
from Central America,
from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala.
President Obama has requested an additional $3.7 billion from Congress.
I'm Diana Correa Corrales. I'm from Mexico. I'm here in Dublin to talk about migration of unaccompanied children. So the children who are traveling, their children particularly through Mexico. There are children from El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and in the case of the Mexican kids, most of them come from the southern part of the country. They are going to the United States. Some of them are going because of economic reasons. This is particularly for the teenagers, and also running away from gangs in their own countries, La Mara particularly, but also for family reunification. For many of them, it just meant that the families have been broken for now many, many years, and the only way that they can join again, if we're thinking they're undocumented migrants in the United States, they can't leave. The only way is for these children to go. They pay very hefty amounts of money in the hope that the smuggler will actually do what he has said and bring them over. It is very important that we work regionally, the United States, Mexico, of course, and all of Central America. Otherwise, I mean, it's something that one country cannot do on its own.
Certainly, some of the countries in Central America, and particularly Honduras, is very much is close to a failed state, I would say. But the situations in Guatemala and El Salvador are extremely worrying as well, and something that wasn't mentioned, but an interesting addition to this, and to see what a long-term and complex situation it is that a lot of what's going on in the Central American countries right now has its roots in mass deportations of immigrants from the United States to Central America in the 1990s. And many people feel that that's what led to the establishment of the Maras, the gangs there, and is those gangs right now that are the root of a lot of the violence in Central America. So all of this can be linked back to a massive deportation from the United States, which was done, most people would say, in an extremely poor fashion.
Unfortunately, impunity, it's there. We are seeing that many crimes get underreported. We have rates that it varies from country to country, but we can even talk of 90% impunity. I think that's in a UNDP report recently.
My name is Kuiva Butterly, and I work with Refugee Solidarity and Migrant Justice Movements. I found today illuminating, I mean very devastating in terms of hearing the witness of the work, of both panelists, but also a reminder of the many parallels, between the two contexts. I think it also has to be said, though, that as mentioned, the context in Latin America is much less visible on so many levels. And in a way, I think a lot of the discourse around the last few months in Europe has really exceptionalized the Syrian experience, which I think is a mistake, because it has created these false dichotomies of worthiness in terms of who's perceived as worthy of refuge, between migrant and refugee communities. But certainly, I think today was a reminder, of the necessity of us, to really collectively organize in terms of talking about the international phenomena of securitization and militarization of borders at the expense of people's lives, a securitized response, at the expense of a humanitarian one. And the fact, that if we buy, even use the very cynical discourse of European and other governments in terms of talking about, quote unquote, pull factors or incentives for people to flee wars and seek refuge, and them, trying to decide, to have a response to this, a very negative securitized response, that the only impact of securitized borders is death, is preventable death, and the direct causality between the securitization of borders and the increased loss of human life, is something that is evident in Europe, is evident in Latin America and many other contexts.
But at the end of the day, it is about failed states and it's about impunity, and that's about politics. Is there a need to engage with why people are having to flee these countries?
Of course. I mean, I think the primary need, of us collectively is to look at cultures of impunity, but also to look at, our government's complicity, in fueling wars, in fueling conflicts, in fueling resource grabbings and climate chaos, etc., and all of the multitude of reasons, that catalyze, movements of people. So I think if we cannot have a holistic understanding, of the multiple reasons that people leave, and also of our collective responsibility in the forced precaritization of communities who are on the move, then we're in a way just buying into a very myopic response, which only looks at, a humanitarian response, when we really have to look at systemic political impunity and, the sustained conflict.